The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Before we get back into this extremely important information, we just celebrated with the Anniversary Club. I forgot to mention Jerry and Marilyn Thompson celebrated number 63 on the 8th. But they've been out of town partying. Yeah, their 63rd anniversary and they're out of town partying. But I think they're back today and I hope they're listening. Jerry and Marilyn Thompson, they celebrated their 63rd anniversary 2 days ago on the 8th. Congratulations and happy anniversary to Jerry and Marilyn Thompson. God bless you. All right. Why can't I get behind Black Lives Matter movement? Now, please understand. I absolutely, positively, unequivocally believe that Black Lives Matter. I do. And I'm totally opposed to racial discrimination, bigotry, prejudice. Absolutely opposed. It's evil. But I can't support the Black Lives Matter movement. First, the way and why it was organized. And by the way, I have to issue a correction. I said that George Zimmerman was found innocent in the killing of Trayvon Martin. He was found not guilty. And we have attorneys in our audience, and one of them wrote me and corrected, and I'm very grateful for that because I don't want to misrepresent. George Zimmerman was found not guilty. He was not declared innocent, and there is a world of difference. But he was found not guilty. And Black Lives Matter was organized in 2013 by their own definition, three radical feminists. They call themselves radical feminists. All right, now, they also identify with Black liberation and therefore are at least somewhat associated with Black nationalism. Now, before the break, I read to you from their own site what Black nationalists believe. They believe that if you need to kill people, if you need to shed some blood for equality, it's okay. Violence is just fine. And the ultimate goal of Black nationalism is an independent Black nation on this continent. They don't want equality. They want absolute separation from white people. All right. Now, many people are saying, well, this is just the continuing work of Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, no, 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 no. Is this what Martin Luther King Jr. wanted? Absolutely not. A couple of hours ago, I went to the Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institute, and I looked up what did Martin Luther King Jr. believe about Black nationalism? Did he support it? Did he support Black liberation? In other words, would Martin Luther King Jr. support the Black Lives Matter movement? It's going to take just a little bit, so hang with me. But I don't want to just give you snippets. I want to give you truth. Here is what the Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institute says about Black nationalism, and I quote, achieving major national influence through the Nation of Islam and the Black Power movement of the 1960s, proponents of black nationalism advocated economic self-sufficiency, race pride for African Americans, and black separatism. Reacting against white racial prejudice and critical of the gap between American democratic ideals and the reality of segregation and discrimination in America, in the 1960s, black nationalists criticized the methods of Martin Luther King Jr. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference and other organizations that sought to reform American society through nonviolent interracial activism. To get this, black nationalism and Martin Luther King Jr. were oil and water. They did not agree with each other in their purpose or in their methods. Quote, in his 1963 letter from Birmingham jail, King described himself as standing between the forces of complacency and the hatred and despair of the black nationalist. That's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. condemned black nationalism and black liberation. Let that sink in. It says again, he described himself as standing between the forces of complacency and the hatred and despair of the black nationalists. Now, how would you describe at least a good portion of the protests that we have seen recently? Hatred and despair of the black nationalists. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. stood against. Now, if you were listening a little earlier, I said, keep in mind the name Marcus Garvey. He's the one that resurrected the black nationalist flag, the black pride, Kwanzaa. Quote, again, this is from Martin Luther King Jr. Center. 20th century black nationalism was greatly influenced by Marcus Garvey, a Jamaican immigrant to the United States who founded the United Negro Improvement Association in 1914 in an essay titled The Future as I See It. So here's what I want you to understand. The civil rights issue is not monolithic. There is a division. There is a fissure. There are those who follow in the footsteps of Marcus Garvey, Ronald Coringa, who started Kwanzaa, Malcolm X, who is mentioned here in just a few moments, and Martin Luther King Jr. They are not one and the same. The article goes on and talks about Malcolm X, and then, quote, following the defeat of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party in 1964 and a trend of rising violence against civil rights workers and supporters, many activists became increasingly skeptical of the power of nonviolent resistance to influence the white-dominated power structure in America. Stokely Carmichael's appointment in May 1966 as chair of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee signaled an organizational shift toward exclusive black self-determination in their approach to civil rights. In June 1966, Carmichael began to use the slogan Black Power to promote racial self-respect and increase power for blacks in economic and political realms. He asserted that the concern for black power addresses itself directly to the necessity to reclaim our history and our identity from the cultural terrorism and depredation of self-justifying white guilt. Rather than publicly criticize black nationalists, Martin Luther King Jr. preferred to focus on the social forces and conditions that brought black nationalist philosophies such as black power to the fore. He called their departure from interracial cooperation in civil rights, quote, a response to the feeling that a real solution is hopelessly distant because of the inconsistencies, resistance, and faint-heartedness of those in power. So he didn't agree with them, but he was fearful of publicly resisting them. But listen to this. Please listen to this. And again, I am quoting from the Martin Luther King Jr. Center. Quote, King remained fundamentally opposed to black nationalist rejection of American society as irreparably unjust and to later black nationalist abandonment of nonviolence. Because of their view that American society is so hopelessly corrupt and enmeshed in evil that there is no possibility of salvation from within, King felt black nationalist movements rejected the one thing that keeps the fire of revolutions burning, the ever-present flame of hope. End quote, Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. did not stand for violence. He did not believe that America was so irreparably damaged that it could not be reformed. He did not believe that. And so my point, much of what we're seeing right now is not the continuation of the work of Martin Luther King Jr. It is not. It is something totally and completely different. And we need to understand that and realize that. I'm no expert on anything, and I'm certainly not an expert on Martin Luther King Jr. But from everything I have read, what we have seen transpire in the last 2 weeks, much of it, Martin Luther King Jr. would not support and certainly not encourage.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Folks, listen to me. There are forces at work trying to destroy America, trying to divide us, trying to bring about anarchy, trying to destroy our freedom, trying to destroy our liberties. Don't listen to them. Don't give in to them. Sometimes you have to be politically incorrect. I stand wholeheartedly, unequivocally against any kind of white supremacy. I condemn without any reservations whatsoever the KKK or any group that believes in white supremacy or believes that blacks are inferior in any way or believe that it's right to discriminate in any way, shape, or form because of the color of a person's skin. I stand just as strongly against any organization that believes in black superiority. I would condemn anyone who believes that just because a person's skin is black, that they are inferior in any way. I also stand against anybody who would say that simply because my skin is white, then I am a racist. Not a whole lot of difference. I came across this, and I'm going to have to deal with it real quickly because I'm going to run out of time, but there's a whole lot of things going on that are symbolism, window dressing, photo op stunts that are not helping anything in the racial movement. I've got this article headline, Prayer Movement Grows After White Christians Kneel in Repentance Before Black Christians for Racism. This is a movement started down in Houston by a group of people who call themselves Christians, and I assume they are, have no idea. But they're going around trying, listen to this, a bunch of white guys and gals going around trying to find black people, and when they find black people, they get on their knees in front of them and kneel in repentance for their racism. What? Now, I could be totally wrong on this, but if you are not a racist, by getting on your knees in front of another person and repenting for something that you're not guilty of makes a mockery of repentance. But it looks good, it's emotional, and it makes you feel good. Quote, a multiracial Houston prayer group called Pray Test, started by a white Christian rapper, Bobby Trey something, is now emerging as a movement among Christians nationwide. After a video of white Christians kneeling in repentance for racism before a group of black believers went viral. Now, if you are a racist, you need to repent. All right? It's evil. It's bad. It's wrong. It is sin. But you repent before God. If you have specifically hurt or harmed another individual, you confess that to them. But you don't kneel. We kneel before God. We worship God. This is an emotional stunt. And it's not going to do anything to erase racism. Check your heart. If you have any racist feelings, you need to get on your knees before God and confess it, because it's wrong and it's evil. But to do it for a photo op or a stunt or to make yourself feel good, you've missed the entire point of repentance. You missed the entire point. But we're seeing more and more of this kind of thing. Makes people feel good, but I don't know that it really accomplishes anything in changing hearts. And that's what needs to happen. White people, black people, we need a change of heart. All right, quick break. We'll be back.